My name is Garland Robinson. Oh, what a great, wonderful thing it is to be a child of God, to know that you can have forgiveness of sins. You can be forgiven. You don't have to live in the penalty or the punishment that is due you, due me, because of our transgression against God's way. He has given a way of escape, a way wherein we can be forgiven when we believe in Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, confess faith in Christ, be baptized into water, that the blood of Jesus may wash our sins away. We can live a Christian life. That is a wonderful benefit, a great favor. It's called the grace of God, that we can have forgiveness of sins. But you know, there's also great reward for the faithful because we're able to enjoy the continual forgiveness of sins. Not only initially when we obey the gospel, but as we live every day, our sins can be forgiven. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7 we read, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin." That does not mean that we're going to reach sinless perfection. It doesn't mean that we'll never need forgiveness. But what it means is that when we do sin, we can again obtain forgiveness for it. If, and that is a conditional word, if we walk in the light. That means if we live according to the New Testament pattern. He says when we do that, we can enjoy the continual forgiveness of sins. Just a few verses later, in chapter 2 of 1 John, beginning in verse 1, we read, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Now notice what He's telling us. He says, "I'm writing these things that you do not sin." Don't sin. That's not what we're supposed to be about. But at the same time, we need to recognize that when we do sin, now we're not talking about a willful, habitual sin here. We're talking about a sin of ignorance or a sin of weakness, something that we strive not to, and yet we end up doing it. He said, "We have an advocate with the Father, that is Jesus Christ the righteous. He has paid the price for our sins." So 1 John 1 and verse 7 teaches that as long as we follow the footsteps of Jesus, even though we will still falter and fail from time to time, there is cleansing for our sins. The whole difference is one whose goal is living for the Master or living for self. We live for self. There is no more sacrifice for sin. But we live striving to please the Lord according to His Word, then we can have continual forgiveness of sin. To walk in the light is to walk according to the truth. The word light is the same as the word truth, that is, God's Word. It depends upon a person's tenor of life. It depends upon the direction of our life. You know whether or not you're really serious. You know whether or not you're really honest and you're really walking, you're really striving to live in the truth of the gospel. There's a blessing in the Christian life to the extent that you can come back. When you fall away, you can turn from it, repent, and again have forgiveness. Simon did that in Acts the 8th chapter, verse 22. When he sinned, he was told to repent and pray. And yet the Bible says that that's what he wanted to do and asked Peter that he would pray on his behalf or pray for him. So as a Christian, one of the great rewards we have is to be able to have the continual forgiveness of sins as we live according to God's Word. Then there are rewards for the faithful because we have a mission in life. The fact that we now have a purpose, we have a job to do, we have a goal to look forward to. Stop and think a moment about how many thousands of people who take their lives every year. They do so because for some reason or another they have found life is not worth living. In their thinking, there's no reason to go on, no reason to live. You know, people are searching for something in life. They're looking for a cause to serve, an ideal to pursue. People are restless. People are frustrated. And sometimes they turn to drugs and alcohol and in order to find some meaning or perhaps to escape realities about them. I remember hearing the story told one time about some laborers who spent all one morning digging holes 3 feet deep, and then they'd turn around and fill them in again and dig another hole. Well, they didn't think there was any use for doing that, and they wondered why they were doing that. So they went to the foreman and asked, "Why are we digging all these holes? We don't see any purpose in this." And the foreman replied, "Well, we won't find the leaky pipe then." And so they went ahead and started digging because now they knew what they were digging for. There was a goal. There was a purpose. Well, there needs to be a purpose in life. And when people get to the point that they don't see a purpose, they don't see a reason to go on, then they're in serious trouble. Well, a Christian life is a great purpose. It is our goal. That is a reason that we can keep on living. I even heard the illustration used one time about animal trainers. Animal trainers tell us that those animals that are trained to do tricks or certain tasks or jobs, they live longer than animals that just lay around and have no real goal, no purpose, no work to do. What's the point then? The point is that Christians have a purpose in life. We have a job to pursue. There's something to look forward to. We can get up in the morning and know, I am a child of the King. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. We have a job to do. There's work to be done. And even Jesus himself said that he worked while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. We have someone now that cares for us, and we need to act like it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and verse 19 and 20, we're told that we're bought with a price, and therefore we are to glorify God in our body. It's not our own anymore. It belongs to the Lord. And we have a job to do to bring Him glory and honor. Our goal is to carry the gospel into all the world. Our mission is to see to it that we help those who are hungry and thirsty, that we help those who are strangers and naked and sick or in prison, and we do all those things that Jesus, our Savior, would do. Because our goal in life is to not only live right ourselves, but to teach the same thing to others. Help them to understand that there is a life after death, that heaven is real, hell is real, and they're going to go to hell unless they obey the gospel and walk according to the truth of the gospel, that they can receive the great reward of heaven in the afterlife. But you know the story of the Good Samaritan? That ought to serve as a good example. Here was a man that fell among thieves, and yet this stranger saw the need, aided, gave him help, and that he is commended certainly for doing so. We are to serve God and to serve Him faithfully because there's a reason to live, a goal in life, and that's a reward that we have of serving the Lord. There are rewards for the faithful because a Christian not only lives for a few years on this earth, but for eternity. In John 11, verse 25 and 26, when Jesus went to raise Lazarus from the dead, He told Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Friend, death is not the end. It's only the beginning. It's not the end of our plans and dreams, but the fulfillment of our entire life on this earth, because now we have a future life. Our present life is more meaningful, because we've got something to look forward to. We have a reward to gain. We have something wherein we can live throughout eternity and bring praise and glory to God. In Philippians chapter 3, we read in verse 20 and 21, "For our citizenship is in heaven." That's our headquarters. That's where we're going back to, is that beautiful place called heaven. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 17 and 18, we read, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed." Oh, the suffering we do here is not worthy to be compared to our eternal home in heaven. It don't even fit into the same category because we're looking for that home in heaven above. Look at a number of verses that describe that great reward, that reward in heaven that we've always longed to have. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. In Psalm 16:11, in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Colossians 3 and verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Hebrews 13 verse 14, here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. In John 14, in verse 2 and 3, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Friend, that's the reward for living the Christian life, being able to go home to heaven above and to live with the Lord forever and forever and forever. We cannot even begin to fathom what eternity is, but it will be eternity just the same, whether in a devil's hell or in the embrace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, the faithful in the Lord Jesus Christ, they go to heaven. And what a reward that is. In heaven, there's a great multitude that no man can number. Revelation 7 and verse 9. Will you be among them? Will you be there in heaven in that number? We've got to be made realize that our present life is not cheapened by living a Christian life, but it is enriched. This life is merely a foyer of a great building. We are on the threshold of eternity, and how we live now determines our destiny. We therefore are told to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Friend, will you be like Paul in saying that you had fought a good fight? Or will you be like the rich man who lift up his eyes in Hades and in torment and cried out? The choice is yours. Surely you want the great life. Surely you want the life of reward. There are rewards for the faithful, not only now, but in the life which is to come. Don't we love singing that song sometime? Heaven holds all to me. But it only holds all if you're a faithful Christian. If we can assist you in obeying the gospel, please give us a call. My name is Garland Robinson.